was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their backs confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string. It makes his little puppet stand.
Puppet Truth Radio broadcast. On RPN, I want to finish off with Leon Panetta, this jackass. Go ahead and roll that.
Are you saying, and is the president taking the position, he would not act if it was in our interest to do so if the UN Security Council did not agree?
But, Senator, when it comes to our national defense, we act based on on protecting the security of this country, and we don't look for permission from anybody else when it comes to our national defense.
Good.
When it comes to the kind of military action where we want to build a coalition and work with our international partners, then obviously we would like to have some kind of legal basis on which to do it as we did in Libya.
Now, some sort of legal basis. We worried about international legal basis, but nobody worried about the fundamental constitutional legal basis that this Congress has over war. We were not asked, stunningly, in direct violation of the War Powers Act, whether or not you believe it's constitution, it certainly didn't comply with it. We spent our time worrying about the UN, the Arab League, NATO, and too little time, in my opinion, worried about the elected representatives of the United States. As you go forward, will you consult with the United States Congress, and can we be assured that you will have more consultation and more participation and legal authority from the duly elected representatives of
the Believe
people?
Me, we will. We don't, you know, we don't have a corner on the market with regards to issues involving our defense. We want to consult with the Congress. We want to get your best advice and your guidance. And when we take action, we want to do it together.
And do you think that you can act without Congress and initiate a no-fly zone in Syria without congressional approval?
You know, again, our goal would be to seek international permission, and we would come to the Congress and inform you and determine how best to approach this, whether or not we would want to get permission from the Congress. I think those are issues we would have to discuss as we decide what to do here.
Well, I'm almost breathless about that, because what I heard you say is we're going to seek international approval, and then we'll come and tell the Congress what we might do, and we might seek congressional approval.
No, well,
I want to just say to you, that's a big dish. Wouldn't you agree, you've served in the Congress?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree that that's would be pretty breathtaking to the average American? So would you like to clarify that?
But I've also served with Republican presidents and Democratic presidents, who has always reserved the right to defend this country if necessary.
But you, before we do this, you would seek permission of the international authorities.
If we're working with an international coalition and we're working with NATO, we would want to be able to get appropriate permissions in order to be able to do that. That's something that, you know, all of these countries would want to have some kind of legal basis on which to act.
What legal basis are you looking for? What entity
Well, obviously, if NATO made the decision to go in, that would be one. If we developed an international coalition beyond NATO, then obviously some kind of UN security resolution would be the basis
for
that.
Coalition of. So you're saying NATO would give you a legal basis and an ad hoc coalition of nations would provide a legal basis?
If we were able to put together a coalition were able to move together, then obviously we would seek whatever legal basis we would need in order to make that justified. I mean, you know, we can't just pull them all together in a combat operation without getting the legal basis on which to act.
Well, who are you asking for the legal basis from?
If it's obviously, if the UN passed a security resolution as it did in Libya, we would do that. If NATO came together as we did in Bosnia, we would rely on that. So, you know, we have options here if we want to build the kind of international approach to dealing with the situation.
Well, I'm for all for having an international support, but I'm really baffled by the idea that somehow an international assembly provides a legal basis for the United States military to be deployed in combat. I don't believe it's close to being correct. They can provide no legal authority. The only legal authority that's required to deploy the United States military is the Congress and the President and the law and the Constitution.
Let me just for the record be clear again, Senator, so there's no misunderstanding. When it comes to the national defense of this country, the President of the United States has the authority under the Constitution to act to defend this country, and we will. If it comes to an operation where we're trying to build a coalition of nations to work together to go in and operate as we did in Libya or Bosnia, for that matter, Afghanistan, we want to do it with permissions either by NATO or by the international community.
All right. Now, let me
I'm troubled by that. I think that
darn straight he's troubled by that, and he should be, because the president has the authority, if we're attacked, directly attacked, to take action at that point. However, what he's saying is if the international community wants to take an action, we would seek permission from the UN or NATO. The United Nations is who he's really primarily looking to. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies on covert means of expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources that into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. President John F. Kennedy at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel on April 27th, 1916. It wasn't too long after that his brains were evacuated from his skull. Anyway,
yep.
We have a caller on the line, John. Another John. John on line one. John, go.
Hello.
Hello, John.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, sir. Can you hear me now?
yeah. Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I was just caught in on your conversation, and one of you guys was talking about we don't know who the good guys or the bad guys are, and I don't know. Every time I hear stuff like that, it troubles me, because I think the real point is that people need to realize we got to stop thinking in terms of good guys and bad guys. I think that's what they want us to think in black and white terms. For all this crap that they're pulling on us from every angle, and I think that's just sort of like a very simplistic way of they want to keep us in that box thinking like that. And the one guy there, I didn't catch his name, but keeps talking about predictions from the past, and I think it's important people realize it's not predictions, it's a plan that's been in motion from way back. And I think, you know, one of you guys is sitting there trying to explain that, you know, this is the plan in motion, and we see it happening. So it's not a theory, you know.
No, I agree with you.
And I think that's the real truth that needs to be put out there more and more. I know it sounds crazy to a lot of people. Like, I think Trump, I don't know if he knows this or he's figuring it out or what, or he's just afraid to say it out openly because a lot of people are going to say he's nuts or whatever. But, you know, the truth is the truth. And I think as soon as we get past this is nuts to just saying the truth, the better off we're all going to be, because, you know, the average person needs to start realizing these things and, you know, getting away from all this nonsense that they keep filling our heads with. So I'm really afraid they're going to spin this whole thing into a World War III by, you know, calling the Russians the bad guys and anybody who's not on, you know, you're either with us or you're with them kind of crap.
Yeah.
And we're all, you know, who's the victims is us, the people of the country, you know, the Russian people, the American people, people of all countries. We're all caught in the middle of this crap, and this is a plan they've been pulling for a while. And, you know, this is also a spiritual matter, too, which is, I know some, a lot of people don't want to fess up to or don't want to hear that, but that's just the truth. You know, whether you believe in spirituality or not, these guys pulling this stuff, they believe in spirituality. So, you know.
I can quote from, now, Abraham Lincoln wasn't one of my favorite people in history, okay? But I'll leave a little quote, and you can chew on this. I feel more and more every day that it is not against the Americans of the South alone I'm fighting. It is more against the Pope of Rome, his perfidious Jesuits, and their blind and bloodthirsty slaves, Abraham Lincoln to Charles Chiniquy. Now, we see this empire. Now, a lot of people like to point the finger, well, it's all the Jesuits, it's all the Jews, it's all the this, it's all the that. That is the distraction. Of course, we have a branch and division in every one of these governments, a faction at the highest levels that work for what I have called, because they call it them to themselves, the Illuminati. And these Illuminati are, and it's hard for people to understand this, at the same time that Stalin was a member, so was Hitler a member, so was the U.S. president a member. This is an international conspiracy to bring us into a one-world government. And it's been so illustrated and it's been so defined. But at the same time, it's been mired in the likes of the CIA's creation of the term conspiracy theory to squash the rumors regarding the JFK, you know, the absolute insanity of the Warren Commission investigation into the JFK assassination. They have managed to make the truth seem insane and what's absolutely insane seem normal. Does that seem about right to you?
That's exactly it. It's a smokescreen that they've pulled on everybody. And another thing is, a lot of people go, you mean to tell me they're all in on it? It's like, yes, they're all in on it, but they're not all on the same page. Here's the thing. It's like the mafia. They're all trying to see who's going to be in charge of this thing. So there is legitimate beefs and fights going on between them all. But the thing is, the plan's going to go forward no matter who ends up on top. But, you know, they see this leeway time where, hey, maybe I'll get to be running the thing, or I want to be at the top of this thing.
Well, John,
go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, Mesmer, John, you hit the nail on the head. Yeah, John the caller hit the nail on the head in that there is a total underlying spiritual element to this. In my decade plus of analysis of the New World Order, the Illuminati, and everything that's going on, you know, I see Luciferianism has just barely been kept below the surface. They all believe it. and they all, you know, that's their chosen religion. And yep. And in my opinion, the Vatican is the seat of Satanism on this earth. And so, you know, with the religion of Luciferianism and, you know, just, and, you know, the Luciferianism and the Illuminati are pretty much one and the same, in my opinion. And so, yeah, they're, you know, underlying all of this.
Well, you know what I think it is? I think it's a false spirituality. It's like a catch-all. You know, not everyone has to be on the same page. You can have atheists involved who don't believe in any of this stuff, but they go along with it just because, you know, they might have a sort of, in quote, scientific view of, well, you know, people need to believe in something. So, yeah, let's have, you know, I'll go along with this bogus, you know, spirituality stuff because it's more of a psychological thing that binds us together. It's like the Bible says, they're deceived in being deceived. So, you know, at the bottom of it all is they're all selfish and evil, and they think they're going to get something out of it, and they don't care who they have to kill and what evil they spread across the world because they think they're above those kinds of things. They're evil. It's weird. I think they're like double-minded. Like on the one hand, they know it's true, and on the other hand, when it's convenient, they believe it. When it's not convenient, they choose to look the other way. And I think a lot of them actually are convinced that they are doing something good. Like they, you know, they believe they're going to create this one-world Star Trek future, and that's how the evolution of man needs to go. And if a lot of people got to die along the way, well, that's evolution, right? That's the survival of the fittest and blah, blah, blah. They got a million different bullcrap explanations they can feed each other. And I think one day they are going to come clean with this, but it's going to be just bullcrap they can give to the public, right? It's just going to be another
multitude of factions that are working within the system, from the atheist to the, the Googles of the world, the Facebook people of the world that believe that we're going to have a merger of man and machine and create this utopia and live forever, and all these factions are all working together. It's just that, you know, I think at the top at the Vatican, you know, within the Rothschilds network, criminal banking cartel, and you know the Illuminati as a whole, and within most of the governmental systems, there are a lot of key, you know, outright Luciferians, you know, in
the top
in the
of the pyramid.
There.
The guys
exactly.
at the top of the pyramid so, are the eyes wide shut guys. That the closer you get to the top, you start to realize that there is something to this, and the guys running the thing, they know there's something to this. But you might have, even like a Hillary Clinton might just be a useful idiot, right? She might just be some, Trotskyite, brainwashed dumbass, you know, she was brought into this a long time ago and she found a way to be rich and be selfish and feed her ego, and she might not even realize that the spirituality behind it is actually, it's for real, even though I think she's completely demonically possessed, if you ask me, but that's just my opinion.
Well, I think a lot of these people sell their souls without even realizing that's what they've done. They've, you know, people say, oh, how could, you know, why would all these people, you know, their families have to live in this world too, and their children and their grandchildren have to live in this world. But what people don't understand is that these key players, they operate at a level of evil that's so far beyond the average person's comprehension that people just can't even comprehend the degree of evil, you know. And, you know, just any mainstream story of Satan or the devil or whatever, that's so underplayed. The degree of evil, pure, unadulterated evil, is almost incomprehensible to the average person's thinking.
Let me share a little bit of evil with you. Some even believe we, the Rockefeller family, are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and myself as internationalists and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty and I am proud of it, David Rockefeller. And he also said, we are on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis, and the nations will accept the New World Order, David Rockefeller.
See, all that stuff's documented. See, that's what I'm saying. It's all out there. But, you know, see, this is the stuff someone, like, I don't know if Trump is legit. I'd like to believe he is on the one hand. On the other hand, it's very hard for me to believe that it's even possible for a legit person to get as far as what he would be. But if he is legit, this is the stuff that he should, you know, I don't know why this couldn't be done. You know, do it on all the networks, you know, put these documentaries on that show all of this stuff, you know, that show the documentation. This is actual stuff. It's a plan, and these guys have been writing about it for a long time. This is not just crazy nonsense that, you know, some nut pulled out of nowhere. This is, and if you see all this documentation that they wrote themselves, and you see the world we live in, we are living in that world. How can anybody deny it? But
yeah, the people analyzing this stuff, you don't have to be a genius, because they tell us what their plans are. They write books on this, but they count on the fact that the mass of people, they're not going to read those books. They're writing those books on for one another, really. And,
right, and that's why
their plans have been well laid out and hidden in plain sight for centuries, really.
Well, that's exactly it. You know, they are a breakaway civilization. People talk about breakaway civilizations. Yeah. They are. I believe they live in a completely different reality than the rest of us do. Like, their whole view of history is probably 100% different from our so-called mainstream history that we get. It's probably very common knowledge to them. Stuff we're sitting here, you know, having to convince people, they're all, I think there's a whole group of people that they know it 100%. They live with it every day. They're all good with that. We're just like the little chickens on the farm to them, you know, and we don't even realize it.
Yeah, and the difference of that was witnessed in the clip that we played with Jeff Sessions and Panetta, because Panetta is part of that that rogue society, that breakaway civilization, if you will. And really what he conveyed is a rogue government to the Constitution that was originally established. And if there were patriots or more, you know, in Congress that could right there in his own statements, he totally convicted himself and his counterparts in our so-called government of being rogue to the Constitution. And,
well, that's exactly,
and,
you know, their, you know, their job, what their real job is to just BS us all and keep us all, you know, assure us of this and assure us of that. Well, they're, you know, they got their plan. It's moving ahead. It doesn't matter who they put as president, any of that stuff, because their whole job is just to, I always tell people, these so-called national concerns we have, they're such a big deal. Even stuff like open borders and all, yeah, it's real problems. But they're not ever going to solve those problems. That's business as usual. They create the problem so that they can sit there and distract
Hegelian
everybody.
Dialectic, my friend. Hegelian.
Yeah, it's not meant to be solved. There's a whole different thing going on that most people don't know about. So their whole job is just to keep everybody on track with the BS. Oh, yeah, you know, we got this problem going on, we got that problem going on, and we're trying real hard to solve it, you know, unemployment. And, you know, the guys running it, they don't care about money. A lot of people say, oh, they wouldn't do that because they're trying to make money. It's like, why would they try to make money? They create the money. They're not worried about that. That's just for the peons that work for them that are, you know, the dumbass, useful idiots, you know, maybe those guys, you know, like I said, maybe like a Hillary Clinton, she might want money and need money and still believe in that system because she's part of it still. But she, you know, the people running it, they don't care about that stuff. They're the ones that created all this crap, you know. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be such a, you know, like I don't mean to be whatever, but I don't know. This stuff really bugs me.
You're fine.
Well, that's okay. Speaking of trying real hard, does anybody remember, what was it? It was Hillary Clinton. I know what it was. I'm going to send this over to Mike. Mike, I'm sending you something real quick. If you could bring that up. Speaking about trying real hard, let me know when you have that ready. I want people to hear this. Bots, you're going to love this too.
Hey, guys, you know what, man? I'm going to let you go, man. You guys got a great show. I just found you guys recently, so I'm going to keep listening. I don't mean to hog up your show, but I just wanted to call.
No, you're not hogging. I thank you for your call, John. Thank you very much.
All right, I'll keep listening, man. Keep up the good work.
All right, thanks. Okay, speaking of trying real hard, roll that clip.
Containment will not work.
I agree with that. My personal position on that.
Containment will not work.
I agree with that. My personal position on that is this. We ought to try every possible avenue we can to see if we can get them to correct their desire and goal of acquiring a nuclear weapon, but we cannot let them acquire that weapon. We are the only country in the world that can stop that. The Israelis, in my opinion, do not have the capability of stopping it. They can delay it. But at the end of the day, if we don't get it done the way the administration's working on it now, which I totally agree with, then we ought to take them out.
Secretary Clinton.
Well, we're working hard.
I said at the end of the day. At the end of the day may be next year.
Yeah, we're working hard.
It will be next year.
Yeah,
I'm
listen,
waiting.
Look, I think
the cackle is just too much, isn't it?
It is.
I think the president has been very, very clear on this. He has always said all options are on the table, and he means it.
They're having troubles now. The sanctions are not complete yet. We want to squeeze them down more, but they're having an effect.
You know, here's the thing. Let me ask a question, and, you know, I know that this is a little bit of a hot topic. When it comes to Iran, a CIA went into Iran in the 50s and toppled their democratically elected representative they elected to be leader of Iran. We call Israel the only democracy, and I hate that word, the only democracy in the Middle East. Yet the CIA took the only other, the actual real democracy, because Israel, in my opinion, is a national socialist state. And the only democracy in the Middle East we toppled. Who have they attacked? We'll be back after a few words from our sponsors. Resurrect the Republic, Dirty Uncle Sam.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin is the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Work with your doctor when taking medications. Make ProtoVite part of your healthy lifestyle.
HealthForLiberty.com is your source for ProtoVite, a powerful nutritional supplement that's a true breakthrough for your health. Poor digestion makes it nearly impossible to absorb the nutrition your body needs. ProtoVite is a liquid multi-nutrient formula with patent-pending absorption technology and the highest quality ingredients to nourish every cell in your body.
My name is Sandra White. 6 weeks ago when I started taking ProtoVite, I was on 14 medications, from everything for blood pressure to fibromyalgia. In the first 10 days, my blood sugar dropped 50 points and my fibromyalgia pain is gone. And so was 12 of the 14 medications that I was taking. I'm 66, living life and loving it.
Go to healthforliberty.com right now. That's healthforliberty.com.
Thank you, ProtoVite, for giving my life back.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Mother of the moon, which built my sails, close the sea of years. No provision, but in all the ways, oh, the straits of fear.
Resurrect Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. Welcome back. You're on the line with John Mesmer and the bots. Well, I wanted to leave a message. Now, I understand bots. I know that it sounds like maybe a few folks have been a little bit critical on your assumption that it's just a theory. Well, I understand
Here's the thing, Tom. I believe in the theory. I believe what you believe, but how do we get the masses of people to believe and understand? When we're talking about what Albert Pike said over 100 years ago and try to connect it with what Obama is doing now, to us, it's
they're all in the same club.
How the hell do we get the people to understand that?
Well, that is what Judge Leander H. Perez said a long time ago, Louisiana Supreme Court Justice, who acknowledged that the 14th Amendment was part of this conspiracy. And he said for this to ever be righted, that public awareness had to happen on a grand scale. Well, we've been working on that. That is why every single night for 2 hours a night, I'm on the radio. I'm doing what I'm doing because all we can do
And see, here's the thing, brother. When it comes down to the end, I don't know whether we're going to win, lose, or draw, or however you want to put it. But I have faith without churches, without the temples, without the Vatican. I have a faith in God and in Jesus Christ. And I put my faith in the fact that every day I'm doing something to be a watchman on the wall and to bring people who are meant to be enlightened. They're, I mean enlightened in the real sense. They're, we've got a lot of noise on the line. Try and turn that down. I'm trying to teach people as I teach them the things that I've learned, they have light bulb moments. Those light bulb moments lead them to the truth. And as they are led to the truth, they become awakened. Now, we have far more people that are awake today than we did 10 years ago. I can promise you that. Yeah. In the ultimate scheme of things, I don't know if it's going to be enough or it's not going to be enough. That is where my faith comes into play. I let go and I let God, brother. I try and tell the truth. I try and tell what I've found and my analysis on what I see going on around me. And I hope that that brings people to a better way of life.
You know, but here's the thing, Tom. I believe in you. And it's because of you that it became very obvious to me that this 14th Amendment that was ratified unjustly, unlawfully, the way you explained it, that all these states did not have a say in the matter. And to me, it's pretty damn obvious. The 14th Amendment is loaded. It's long. It's written.
Well, yes. That's why I use it as a long amendment, right?
You're right. They changed the jurisdiction, the power of the government over the people.
Yeah.
They changed what we had as rights. In the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments, we had all of these rights as state citizens, as sovereign people.
Yes.
And then it just changed it into privileges. Privileges. Now all of a sudden we have a privilege. And no one gets it. Tom, I get it. I was playing devil's advocate before trying to say, okay, where's the connection between what Albert Pike said over 100 years ago and what's happening now? I see it. You see it. We see it. But when you try to explain it to someone, they don't even want to hear it. The people today are stupid.
They've been dumbed down. They've been dumbed down by processes.
Dumbed down is an understatement. People are working six days a week. I'm sorry.
We have another caller on the line. Mike in Kentucky. Mike, you're on.
Yeah, I can't tell whose it is, but somebody's Skype or something needs to be like re-handshaked. It's just getting really choppy, at least on the phone while I was sitting here. But with Norman Panetta to tie this together and the Congress critter that was going back and forth, I think they have a very precarious balance to try to preserve the concept that the Supreme Court's rulings are relevant, and that treaties can supposedly trump the Constitution, and you know they're convinced. You know they try to convince the public of that. I think a little bit, but the treaties are supposed to be congruent with the Constitution to be valid to begin with. And so this whole NATO mutual security agreement, I think Norman Panetta was talking about. I think he was sensing that the congressman was trying to get him into admitting that Congress has itself, in effect, made itself irrelevant by agreeing to the NATO agreement so that NATO can agree without having to get Congress's permission to do something. In the 1970s, Congress passed an act that they constantly are going to, whenever they want to get authorize a executive action, use of force that does not require a treaty, a declaration of war, because they're trying to move forward from the days of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who declared that we were going to be free from war, and he changed the Department of War over to the Department of Defense. It's a very Orwellian newspeak. Of course,
sure.
They continue to have war, war after war after war. But they try to mince the terms. Well, it's a police action, or it's a security resolution, or that sort of thing. But in the meantime, we're continually renewing every 6 months the perpetual national emergency over and over and over again.
Yep.
So, Congress has to maintain they're doing a perception management game, is what I would call it, a mass psychological operation on the populace to try to make it seem like Congress is in jeopardy of being irrelevant. But
yeah,
they hold the purse strings. They hold the purse strings. They control spending.
Yes, I agree with your assessment. Now, the interpretation that treaties are enforceable by the Supremacy Clause of the U.S. Constitution is actually true. However, like you said, and I think that it's very important to illustrate that anything that violates the basis, the body of the Constitution, is stricken with nullity regardless of what you want to call it, whether you want to call it a treaty. The treaty, in other words, would have the force of the Supremacy Clause only if it were consistent with the United States Constitution to begin with.
Well, just step back for a minute and think, why would the founders write into the Constitution a way to destroy itself through treaty? It would make all of that work, and all the compromise and hashing out of the details of the Constitution will become just basically a waste of time if you could amend away and destroy the Constitution through treaty. The idea was we were supposed to export our way of government and free the world was, I think, what they thought.
Yes. I can answer that question with the analysis of one of our founding fathers, Patrick Henry, when he said, "I smell a rat."
Well, that rat
was George Bush. George Bush Senior.
No, he's just one.
As taught to me by William Cooper, George Bush got us into the war with Iraq against a sovereign nation. It was the first time we ever be able legally to attack a sovereign nation. Now we can do that anytime we want. And you heard before Senator Sessions talking about, like, where's it saying the Constitution? The Constitution doesn't mean crap. It's the UN and it's NATO. That's who has the authority. Our Constitution is null. It's null. Tom, you taught it to me. The 14th Amendment turned us all into citizen slaves.
No, it didn't turn us into anything, brother. See, that's the whole point. It was a fraud, and fraud is not lawful. That we have, what we have is a rogue shadow government, whatever you want to call it. There's 100 million terms for it. The corporation,
de facto.
Yep, that would be accurate. So we essentially are occupied. We have been occupied, and this is the point that I made a couple weeks ago when we were discussing the Pledge of Allegiance and all of that. And these fellas, these NFL players that are going down on one knee and they're not standing behind the flag. Now, you see, I don't agree with them because they're doing it for all the wrong reasons. Okay. However, a flag is a dangerous thing. And my faith, I always go back to my faith, and it says it shall place no idols before you. Your loyalty shall be unto the Creator. There's a reason for that. Whoever gets to capture the flag and come in the name of what was now has the presumed or assumed authority of what that entity used to be. In other words, the Pledge of Allegiance that was written by a socialist to begin with.
Yeah.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. I'll follow that flag no matter where you take it, no matter what you do with it, shit, ISIS could run with that flag, and I'll follow it.
It's well, the second part is to the
not what it means.
To the that's Republic.
The flag,
yes.
As far as our wars, our battles, our flags,
okay.
But hang on a second.
That flag is still there. That means we own the territory.
To the Republic for which it stands is the second phrase.
Yeah, but hang on a second.
The Bellamy cousins.
So hang on a second. Now, this is why I hate being a judge and a lawyer's son. Let's go over that one last time and remember that it was written by the I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States, and it is now incorporated, the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it, what is it, flag, stands. Now, you see, here's the problem with the socialist's pledge. I was raised saying the Pledge of Allegiance, and this is my Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to God and to the rights bestowed upon me by the Creator. And I will, to the best of my ability, protect my fellow countrymen and women in the same concept, in the same principles by which a godly nation was founded. That's my Pledge of Allegiance. In other words, I understand the want and the desire for people to, and the necessity of patriotism. But you have to assume, you ever play that game when you were a kid, capture the flag?
Yeah.
Well, when you can put lipstick on a pig, you can call it a republic, and you can wave a flag, and you can follow it. But if it's not going by the same principles and by the Constitution by which it was founded, in other words, you're following the colors and the flag, but you're not following the ideals by which they stand. And that is what Obama has been doing. Obama has essentially, he's been like, I guess, the last puzzle piece, you know, the last puppet in line, and he's really taken us way beyond the pale. I mean, I remember talking on the show about, I think it was it Senator Davy Crockett? I believe it was Davy Crockett who stood up when there was legislation that was suggested that one of the Revolutionary War fighters' widows who was going through a tough time, Congress, there was a bill presented to Congress to allocate some money for her to help her out. And Davy Crockett stood up and he said, you know, I can't get behind this. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have to stand against it because the Constitution does not grant us the power to do such a thing. However, I will donate a month's salary. And I would urge others to do the same. And if we do so, we will be able to raise more money than what the bill was going to allocate. And of course, the bill was turned down. They took their personal money and they helped her out. And the constitutional principles by which were established were respected. Now we hear these progressives talk all the time about promoting the public welfare. Welfare is in the Constitution. Now, you tell me what the difference in promoting and providing is.
Yeah. Well, the fact of the matter is the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, I mean, they say everything that needs to be said about what to do with a rogue government and everything that's taken place. And the 14th Amendment was just one piece of the puzzle, but it is the piece where they flipped the script.
Yep.
They flipped the script right there and turned it all inside out.
Law schools teach that. I think the law schools call it the kind of like the new Constitution or something to that effect. There's an interesting phrase I've read about the 14th Amendment.
That's why, and the fact that you mentioned that, I've spoken to my father, who was a judge, I've mentioned. And then it's why I got the term when I, the first video I did when I went on Sean Stone, Oliver Stone's son, he has that show called Buzzsaw. And I went on Buzzsaw, and what I called it was the secret Constitution. And the reason that I chose to name it that were two reasons. One, you had Karen Hudes, who was a disinfo shill, out there promoting the same stuff that many of us have known for a long time, but because she worked for the World Bank, people were listening to her who had not listened to these theories before, and she was zeroing them in on the Act of 1871 and skipping right over the 14th Amendment, right over Section 4 of the 14th Amendment, just right. Completely bypassing that. And I know why she came about when she did. She was supposed to come on the show, and she sent me an email stating that, oh, I can't come on your show. You're part of that fake alien agenda, even though anybody who's listened to my show knows I've never even mentioned aliens on my show. I don't even go there. Unless I've seen it, I can put my hands on it, read it, see it, touch it, taste it. The only thing that I believe in that I can't put right in front of you right now is God himself. So I've never mentioned any such thing. She told me who she was when she did that. And then it wasn't a couple weeks later that I heard her quoting that the Coneheads were in the basement of the Vatican. So basically what she did was she took all of the truth about the Vatican's control, the Rothschild's control, the secret constitution that was created by the 14th Amendment, and anybody that listened to an ounce of what she was saying about the Act of 1871, all that, everything that she said, nonsense at that point. She completely discredited all of us because we were speaking half of what she was telling about, and then she went, you see what I'm saying? She stained what we were saying by talking about half of it. So when people hear us talk about the Act of 1871 now, they immediately go to the most popular one out there, which was Karen Hudes, who said that Coneheads were living in the basement of the Vatican, and they think that we're all nuts.
And Google can manipulate the search results where that kind of stuff gets associated directly together and buries legitimate discourse and discussion. Now, the 14th Amendment, I would probably go and dig up a mason jar and find some silver. And there's got to be some of them still out there. When I was in the 7th and 8th grade, our American government book only printed the first paragraph of the 14th Amendment. It left all the rest of those sections off.
Of course it did.
I would love to get a hold of one of those, or I'd love to see some people scan in some of those old history books.
At least you learned that. We didn't learn anything.
Oh, that's what shocked me when I first read it after I got out of college.
Information bots. When they only give you half of something, that is disinformation.
That's not the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Are citizens of the United States of the state wherein they reside.
Yeah, but what shocked me was that
without understanding Section 4 of the 14th Amendment, you don't have the whole story, and therefore you're not, you know, just giving somebody Section 1 of the 14th Amendment is not enough. It's just not enough.
Well, let's give them
you
section
shall not
one,
question
huh?
the national debt.
For everyone that's listening that don't know, Section 4, the 14th Amendment, the validity of the public debt of the United States authorized by law, including debts incurred for payment, pensions, and bounties for services expressing insurrection or rebellion, shall not be questioned.
That's and they even crafted that cleverly. They even crafted that. They even crafted that rather cleverly because what they mentioned in there was insurrection and rebellion. So most people that don't understand the way that lawyers write things with commas and when you write something that's including, it's not a limited to. It's very clever how they wrote that.
And there's no synonym.
Public debt. Yes, the public debt shall not be questioned, including rebellion, including insurrection. So when I've had this conversation with progressives, they said, "Oh, Section 4 is about the public debt shall not be questioned when repelling invasions and rebellion and insurrection." No, it's not just that, you idiot. It shall not be questioned. Period. And then they handed it to the Federal Reserve,
and it contradicts the previous sections that say it is the right of the people to overthrow a government that becomes tyrannical.
Yes.
They can borrow as much money as they want to suppress. There shall be no more revolutions in America. That's what that says. They can borrow as much money as they need to, even to the point of destroying the currency with inflation, to quash any natural insurrection or revolution.
Yep. So much for the Declaration of Independence, huh?
Yeah. And, you know, there's a Christian hymn out there that you're talking about the Pledge of Allegiance. If I be lifted up, I'll draw you to me. That's about Jesus. And, of course, what did the Bellamy cousins do? Their salute to the flag was an exaltation, lifting it up, lifting it up as if, you know, you're going to exalt that. And that's going to, you know, be your God. And, of course, what did Hitler do? He just got a little bit lazy and turned his hand over, and you got the Nazi salute.
Yeah, that's the Bellamy salute right there. It's the Roman. They used it in Rome. In fact.
Well, man, guys, you guys are all over.
There's a reason.
Let's talk about a solution to this problem. Yeah. We have.
Well, we don't have time for that tonight, my brother. We have a... we have only a few minutes left, and we have Jim in Missouri to get to before
I wanted to say really quick, because we pointed out that, you know, how are we going to reach the necessary message to the masses? Well, to hit critical mass, you only need 5 or 10% to begin with for critical mass to make a major change. So we don't have to reach, you know, half the population. We just need to reach that key.
Jim, we have Jim in Missouri. Jim, are you with us?
Can you hear me?
Yes, Jim, go ahead.
Well, number one, we have to understand that we're dealing with practitioners of atonement. Number one. Number two, we have those out there that say that this is a living constitution.
One that I wish would die.
That changes with whatever they will it to. But in the words of Chris from Road Warriors, we have to define terms. What does the term mean? So that's the basics of it. And if we don't define terms and sit them down and say, no, we're going to define terms. What does this term mean to you? What does it mean to the founders? What did it mean in 1850s?
Yes. Well, that's why that's why we refer back to these dictionaries at the time when laws were written.
Yes, we have to define terms. What do you mean by that? And
nobody cares. That's the problem. We know and we care. We're interested in what these terms are defined as. We're looking in the dictionaries to see what they mean.
Go ahead, Jim in Missouri. Go ahead. You were saying. Finish your thought there, brother.
Well, but we have to put it out and to them and say, oh, no. We're going to define terms before we talk. We're going to define the terms before we speak about whatever the subject is. We're going to define terms. What does this mean? What do you mean by this? You know, like I was hearing this Leon Panetta deal.
Yeah.
Excuse me. We're going to define terms. What exactly does that mean? Does that mean that we just gave up our sovereignty?
Well, they'd like to think that's not the case.
That's where we have to go. We have to go down to the term and nail them in their own backyard.
I agree. I thank you for calling, Jim. We run out of time for this show. John Mesmer, thank you for joining me. Bots, thank you for joining me. Callers, I appreciate you calling in.
Resurrect the Republic.
Resurrect the Republic. Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. We'll catch you next time, folks.
I'm not interested in photo ops.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.